This is Resonance 104.4 FM. It is 1 o'clock and next on is the Indie Media Newswire.
Indie Media is DIY news. It is about people reporting their own news directly, without the need for reporters, bypassing the corporate media. There are now almost 100 indie media websites or IMCs worldwide, providing grassroots reports of struggles, campaigns, and protests. The project started 3 years ago, covering the massive Seattle protests that shut down the World Trade Organization summit. Uncensored and unsponsored, indie media sites can be updated literally anytime, anywhere, and by anyone. The open-to-all nature of these sites means that you can publish your own reports about your own issues and at the same time connect to a global network of grassroots news. What you are about to hear are some highlights from those global websites and the UK's very own indie media site. For more information, or to get the news direct from the streets, check out www.indiemedia.org.uk.
Today's programme brings you the latest reports from indie media newswires across the globe and from the UK. Our feature presentation will feature street interviews from the Halloween Disobedience Day demonstrations against the war on Iraq, and the recent Washington DC anti-war protests in America, as well as music and even more up-to-the-minute grassroots news reported by you.
Right now, we've got some UK news, and we ain't talking about light-fingered butlers and bickering Tories. These reports come direct from the Indie Media Newswire. Some 60 Romani families managed to resist eviction last Monday from Woodside Caravan Park near Sandy in Bedfordshire. The council, armed with a court injunction, hired hundreds of contractors, police and monster-sized machinery for its onslaught on Woodside, a 17-acre touring park which 27 families clubbed together to buy in 1997. The local authority states that eviction is due to environmental factors, but the Woodside community believes this to be a smokescreen to hide the council's racism. Representatives of the community are taking an application for a stay against the eviction to the High Court today.
On October the 19th, demonstrators in Kent and Devon took part in the first cross-channel demo held by activists from a wide range of anti-racist groups in France and the UK. The demonstrators protested against the closure of Sandgate refugee shelter in March 2003. Once the centre is closed, its inhabitants will be separated into what the authorities call genuine and non-genuine refugees.
On the 24th of October, the US spy base at Menwith Hill in Yorkshire was blockaded. Protesters locked themselves onto the base's two entrances, preventing up to 1,000 staff from entering the building. The Menwith Hill spy base monitors communications in Europe and the Middle East and is a hub of intelligence gathering for the so-called war against terror and the planned bombing of Iraq. It is also one of the key bases for the global spy system Echelon.
On Saturday, the 26th of October, campaigners protested at Parliament Square against the building of a third runway at Heathrow Airport. The plan is one of a number being considered to increase capacity at airports across the country to deal with a predicted increase in passengers in coming years. At least 150,000 people will be affected by the new flight path.
On Thursday the 31st of October, 30 protesters dressed as badgers and armed with water pistols stormed a Starbucks on Oxford Street, claiming it as their ancestral home. The badgers evicted some of the customers and erected the first badger settlement in London, with placards proclaiming, "If it works in Palestine, why not here?" and "It's ours because we say so." The self-styled Badger Defence Force set up checkpoints to inspect shoppers and tourists for concealed weapons. The Defence Force justified such actions by saying, "If they're not a badger, they could be a terrorist." They handed out copies of the Badger Bible, which proves their ownership of Starbucks, and a fact sheet which answered frequently asked questions about their activities. The Badgers have selected the store for their settlement because of the role of its CEO as a major supporter of the Israeli state.
Revolution, 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 revolution.
Halloween last Wednesday, thousands of anti-war demonstrators took to the streets all over the country to protest against the government's plans to join an American-led military attack against Iraq. Around 150 different events, from mass demonstrations, road blockades, university occupations and rallies, took place both in major cities like London and Glasgow, as well as many other smaller towns. Direct Action featured heavily in both London and across the country after the Stop the War Coalition and other groups called for a more radical approach to protests, asking people to engage in non-violent resistance and acts of civil disobedience. Road blockades and sit-down protests were reported in central London, Finsbury Park, Manchester, Sheffield, Oxford, Brighton and Swansea. Students occupied university buildings in Liverpool, Cambridge, Sheffield, Manchester, as well as in London, SOAS, UCL and the London School of Economics. Further protests occurred at Brighton University, Essex and Colchester Colleges, among others. The Halloween actions came close on the heels of mass anti-war protests in Washington, D.C. in America, where 100,000 people marched 10 days ago and where support for American military action is widely reported to have dropped to around 50%. It also followed the massive UK demonstration on the 28th of September, where up to 400,000 people brought the centre of London to a standstill, and more recently another demonstration in Glasgow attended by 15,000 people. The start of the Halloween protests in London was heralded by the night-time projection of huge anti-war slogans onto the side of the Houses of Parliament. In mid-morning, Westminster Bridge was blockaded by an all-women action complete with music, banners, street theatre and giant puppets. One arrest was made as police moved very forcefully against the women, who sustained injuries including a black eye and cuts to the hand when a policeman brandishing a knife tried to cut banners down. This aggressive and violent police behaviour against peaceful protesters was repeated in several places throughout the demonstrations in both London and Brighton. During the afternoon, numerous events took place across London, with rallies, teach-ins, marches, art interventions and more direct action.
Coming up next, more in-depth reports from the main protests in London and Brighton. But first, here's some audio interviews recorded at the recent Washington DC protests and in London on Halloween.
26th of October 2002, an anti-war demonstration in Washington of over 100,000 people took place. Here are some reports from that event.
Unlike what Bush suggested, the Congress and the President do not speak as one for the nation, that there is dissension and there is a lot of opposition to the war.
How would you regard people actually physically going to the Iraqi border and trying to prevent the war from happening by peacefully protesting?
I've thought about that as maybe one of the only options. Yeah, I would agree with it.
Anything you'd like to say to Europeans regarding this situation?
Yeah, please look beyond Bush. There are a lot of us here that do not approve of the war and that do not support our president.
I think most Americans are against the war. Americans are very peaceful.
So how do you think you can stop Bush and the governments of the world from going ahead with this war?
People start to speak up more like this, it would make a difference.
All over the world, in the Caribbean, here in the United States, Latin America, they oppose that war because it's an unjust war.
I'm an American, and what I think about the war is that it's wrong, and they're hurting innocent people if they start it. It's not America's oil, it's the Iraqi oil. And innocent people will be killed, children will die, and their parents gonna be sad and cry and stuff. I'm thinking if we walk around the White House a lot, fewer, a lot of times, maybe George Bush will change his mind.
Do you think George Bush is a good man or a bad man?
I'm thinking he's a bad man. I don't like him. At the beginning, I thought he was gonna be a good president, but now I think he's bad.
What do you think Americans think about the war?
I think they are sad because all of the people died.
And what do you think people can do to stop the war?
Fight.
How do you think people should fight?
Like using guns.
Using guns? So do you think people should use guns to stop a war?
Yes.
So who do you think should use the gun?
All of the people if they want to kill George Bush.
I think the war is wrong because it's killing many innocent people.
Would you like to, help other children in Iraq?
Yes, since most of my cousins are there, and I'd like to help them. They're fine, but if the war starts, then they won't be fine.
You have to remember tonight, when you go back up to the woods to go to sleep, or if you stay here, is that the man next to you is your brother. And you damn well better treat each other that way, because if they don't, then we blow the whole thing. But we've got it right there.
Continuing with the indie media reports of the Halloween anti-war protests last week in London and the rest of the country, we return to London now. At 2 p.m, around 100 protesters gathered outside the Imperial War Museum to hold a critical mass bicycle ride against the war. Also there were dozens of police, as well as police surveillance officers who photographed and filmed everyone taking part in the peaceful action. Later in the afternoon, the bicycles and skateboards set off, many people in anti-war or Halloween fancy dress, blocking the traffic to the sounds of a small mobile sound system. They occupied the streets, touring central London, stopping off at oil companies and government or military departments to make speeches and to protest. After the many smaller events of the day, the main protest in London was the 6 p.m. demonstration outside the Houses of Parliament, called by a range of groups, including Arrow. Another range of groups, the Disobedience, also called for the occupation of Parliament itself in a Halloween action billed as Occupy Parliament Trick or Treat. At around 5:30, hundreds of students, protesters, outside the London School of Economics waiting to march on Parliament, were joined by hundreds more who marched down Holborn, refusing to stop as the police quickly tried to form a line across the street. Already in Parliament Square, thousands of people had gathered. There were also hundreds of police officers and mounted riot police ringing Parliament.
As the students arrived, a few scuffles broke out as police tried to push the front of the student march in the direction the police wanted them to go in. But the students simply sat down in the road, defusing the situation. At around 6:30, after an impassioned speech by Jeremy Corbyn MP, everyone in the square set off, moving down Whitehall towards No. 10 Downing Street, where the official Stop the War event was due to end with the handing in of a petition. There was a diverse range of people there, from veteran peace campaigners to socialists, anarchists, anti-capitalists, and a large number of people experiencing their first protests. As people arrived at No. 10, the police threw barriers around Whitehall and quickly brought in large numbers of officers, including mounted riot police, to pen the crowd into a tight area on the opposite side of the street. With nowhere to go, there was pushing from the crowd, which quickly received a hard response from the police, who brought in more reinforcements, using the mounted riot horses to push back the crowd, confiscating banners and making arrests, as well as pushing much of the media and photographers away from the flashpoint areas. After almost an hour with the crowd being pushed tighter, it was evident that people wished to stay, making their protest and not to disperse. The police agreed to remove their main cordon and allow people to move up Whitehall towards Trafalgar Square.
There then followed a very lively march through London, sometimes chaotic, as scores of police ran through the streets trying to get in front of the march and to take pictures of the protesters. People danced in front of the traffic, blockaded roads, handed out leaflets and held sit-down protests, all with a carnival-like atmosphere. Importantly, it should be noted that no windows were smashed, no cars damaged, and despite the whole of Trafalgar Square being a virtual building site, no stones were thrown either. This was peaceful direct action, which makes the behaviour of the police all the more shocking and concerning. There were many reports of assaults by police officers, some of which were filmed as they dragged people to the ground and punched and kicked them. Several indie media reporters were violently assaulted when they tried to video or photograph the police violence. Others were threatened with arrest if they did not stop filming. There were also several reports of the police using snatch squads to arrest specific people, including the obvious targeting of student protest leaders who had only ever acted peacefully. The protests ended at around 9 o'clock. The police estimated numbers at 1,500, obviously too low, while organisers and others quoted numbers between 3 and 5,000. Initially, the police reported 8 arrests, although the total was much higher. Indeed, anyone who has witnessed any of these arrests or violent assault on 0208 986 8336.
In Brighton, it was a similar story. It started out as a peaceful day with rallies and a critical mass bike protest, but police met the peaceful protesters with violence. At 6 p.m, a protester between 500 and 1,000 people occupied the streets near Brighton Pier after speeches at a rally. To shouts of, "Shame on you," riot police moved in on the crowd, and as people linked arms, the police began using pepper spray and batons on people sitting in the road. The rest of the crowd moved quickly off on a chaotic walk around the city, blocking roads for several hours and pursued by riot vans and police dogs. The protest ended at around 10:30. Again, it should be noted that there was no property destruction or damage. This was a peaceful anti-war protest treated shamefully by the police. Mainstream press reports of the Brighton protests were sympathetic, no doubt due in part to the Argus newspaper photographer who was pepper sprayed in the face by police. Elsewhere, there was good local newspaper coverage, although nationally only a few newspapers covered the protest, only mentioning the London protests. The Stop the War Coalition has now announced plans for a large-scale national demonstration in London on February the 15th next year. While Arrow and other groups are calling for mass civil disobedience on the 2nd of December, a peaceful sit-down protest to block Whitehall is also planned. Planning also continues for mass non-violent direct action across the country on the day that attacks on Iraq begin. For more information, check out the Stop the War Coalition website, stopwar.org.uk, and the many reports and links on the UK Indie Media website, indiemedia.org.uk. All reports featured here were written by ordinary people participating in the protests and uploaded to the Indie Media Newswire. Now, after the music, a few more interviews from the streets of Washington, D.C. and London.
America number one is alive still. How many innocent people are killed? Do our soldiers believe in the fascism? No, they just couldn't get a job, so they had to go and get ground up in Bush's war machine. What the fuck do the polls on TV mean? We won't give our consent to blow up foreign soil. No blood for oil. War. What is the good of war? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You gotta have something. You gotta have peace. I don't understand it, it makes my blood boil. All foreign soil, trading blood for oil. How many heroes would there be from this war? And what the hell are we really fighting for? Why in the hell would I serve my time for Sam? When Sam don't give a damn. Now here's an opportunity for peace and unity. Ceasefire in the Middle East. It's time to increase peace.
Well, basically, I'm protesting against the war on Iraq that might take place in the near future, and obviously all the, you know, aggression and that's coming from America and Britain.
What is it that's driven you to civil disobedience?
And I just think that there are no grounds, as far as I can see, for threatening, you know, war on Iraq. And I feel strongly about it, and so I've come after work to be here. I've come to as many protests as necessary and continue, as everyone else is here, by making a stand, really, against what's being threatened on Iraq and the people of Iraq.
Do you think civil disobedience is the only way to go?
It's not the only way, but we won't get anywhere without it.
Yeah, civil disobedience and direct action are the only powers we've got, really, aren't they?
Well, in this case, yes, it's not always.
Probably not.
There is no choice. I wish there was.
Within the context of the UK, civil disobedience is something that's desperately needed.
There is no alternative.
Me, personally, no. But I think people should.
Why are you sitting down blocking the traffic?
Well, today is a day of action against a possible war in Iraq. It's a protest that's been going on around the country. And we're here blocking the traffic as part of making our voice heard against the war. It's our way of saying we don't want to have anything to do with Blair's war.
Why are you here then?
To try and make sure there's no war. Not that a war is something that's yet to start. The war's been going on for the last 12 years or so.
The people here today are actually proposing a solution. In other words, peace.
and justice.
Because I'm fundamentally against the war for oil. It's the way to make our voice heard.
I think it's a created war.
I'm here because I'm opposed to a war for oil.
It's only by marching and coming out on the streets that we can make governments understand.
We in the Western world, we're lucky, because we don't know what it's like to live under occupation or domination of another land.
What are your main motivations for stopping the war in Iraq?
I don't think the war is about democracy. It's not about Saddam Hussein as a dictator, which he is. But, you know, if he was such a bad dictator, they wouldn't have given him the arms in the first place. America and Britain and the West armed him many years ago. So he was a dictator then, he's a dictator now, they armed him. No, it's about controlling oil supplies. Bush deciding that he's going to have to show a macho image of his government. And I think he's got it wrong, because more and more people are now coming out against the war. So that's a starter. And then all this business about nuclear weapons and chemical weapons. I mean, the country that's used nuclear weapons is America. The country that most used chemical weapons is America and Vietnam. And the country that has broken up all nuclear agreements is America, the Non-Proliferation Treaty. The country that has walked out of the environmental agreements is America, Kyoto, and the country that has sued other countries to make sure that its soldiers won't be prosecuted for human rights violations is America. I see in America now that the support for the war is coming down quite dramatically, and I know people in the peace movement there, and they say, you know, they are getting now more and more support now that people are not so frightened to speak out. So that's very important.
Now we're going to have a roundup of the global IMC Newswire. November the 4th, violent repression at Australia's detention centres. Reports posted by refugee advocates visiting Baxter, Woomera and Port Hedland detention centres. There are reports of officers in riot gear and violent beatings taking place. Many detainees in Woomera are resisting being moved to Baxter, fearing the conditions will be even more repressive. Thousands participate in anti-war demonstrations across Greece. October the 31st found the whole of Greece in anti-war fever. More than 10,000 people participated in a demonstration in Athens. The demonstration was aggressive against the US, imperialism, and the support that the Greek government has extended to the US during the attacks on Yugoslavia and Afghanistan. The mass of the demonstrators were peaceful. However, outside the heavily guarded US embassy, a group of anarchists attacked the police forces with cobblestones, and the police responded with tear gas. George Bush heckled in Dallas by anti-war protesters who are held under suspicion of threatening to assassinate the president. After Bush spoke for 10 minutes, 12 protesters unfurled a banner saying no war in Iraq and chanted the same. They were removed and held and then released as mainstream media arrived to catch the story. And finally, the European Social Forum is starting in Florence, Italy. Tens of thousands of activists and campaigners will meet to discuss alternative solutions to the world's problems and to develop strategies to counter the devastating effects of corporate capitalist culture. Already, reports are coming in of repression by the Italian government, with people being stopped at the border and prevented from attending the forum. Next week, we'll bring you reports from this important event.
This programme was brought to you by Indie Media Radio London. All reports have been taken from the Indie Media Newswire. For more info on the issues covered today, check out the Indie Media website on indiemedia.org.uk. This was the first of a weekly radio show. Stay tuned for our next broadcast. In the meantime, keep checking out indiemedia.org.uk.